If I were to ask you tonight, out of all the Bible characters, one that really stands out to be just an absolute godly individual to pattern your life after, based on what is said about them in the Scripture, what would be some of those characters? Joseph. Who? Enoch. Right? Joseph and Enoch. David. Daniel. Moses. Joshua. Who's the other one? Job. Is that right? Job? Okay, I don't know who said that. I just heard it. Who said that? Oh, there you are. I didn't see you. You just hid behind your daddy right here. That's not hard to do, is it, Brother Johnson? Anyway, all right. Hey, because he's a spiritual giant. Hey, amen. Woo! Well, I had to get out of that one, didn't I? Say amen right there. All right, that's seven, I believe. Seven or eight. Who else? Paul. Elisha. That's nine. Who else? Somebody over here? Stephen. Oh, my, definitely. So that's 10, I think. Anybody else? Just an absolute outstanding Bible character. We've got 10. Anybody else? Joseph. Old Testament Joseph. Gotcha. So there's 11. Of course, the New Testament Joseph is not bad either, amen. It's 11. Who said that? Jesus. Who come up with that? Miss June? Yeah. Who would have thought? All right, so we had about 11 or 12, and none of you mentioned my character. I'll give you another shot. Anybody else? Who? Daniel. Was that already mentioned? Daniel's already mentioned, I think. Try again, sis. Anybody else? Caleb. That's my man. Caleb is my man. Who's that? Oh, Ruth. Hey, that's right. That's good. I think that was the only female one mentioned out of that whole bunch. What's up, ladies? I figured y'all would be going to bat for the ladies in the Bible, amen? Hey, that was a man in the Bible, wasn't it? He said Micaiah. He was a man known for, he was hated for telling it like it is, amen. So I want to focus our attention tonight, and we may even do another service or two if the Lord leads, on Caleb. I was reading my devotions through the book of Joshua, and I read, I believe it was chapter 12 through 15 on Friday morning, and the Lord began to allow some things to just get big to me. And we've all heard Caleb preached about, but you know what? If the Lord wants it preached on again, that's fine. And so I asked the Lord to just show me what he wants us to deal with. And when you think about some of these Bible characters that were mentioned here tonight, usually there's something that sticks out or stands out concerning those Bible characters. I mean, you didn't just guess at those Bible characters. There's probably something that has impressed you, something that God has used to be a blessing to you in those Bible characters that you mentioned. When you think of Daniel, that was mentioned twice. When you think of Daniel, what stands out? I mean, what is the first thing that comes to mind, or one of the first thing, or should be the first thing comes to mind for Daniel when you think about Daniel? Prayer. Daniel was a praying man, faithful. Amen. Anything else? Courage. So you've got things that come to mind, and you ought to, and I ought to, we ought to all familiarize yourself with the Word of God to where these Bible, these were real people. They were heroes, of course, but they were real people. They knew what it was to be a human, because that's exactly what they were. But they made choices to be different. Daniel chose to be different. He chose to to be what he was. In fact, you'll never be what you need to be if you don't choose it. Amen. All of those Bible characters have something that makes them stand out, and every one of them chose that. Daniel's prayer life was not automatic. It was something he chose. When you think of Enoch, somebody mentioned Enoch, I believe it was Brother Preston, I think. When you think about Enoch, what's the first thing that comes to mind, that one statement in the Bible that, or a couple of statements that really defines him? What stands out to you when you mention Enoch? He walked with God. And of course, Hebrews 11 says that, that he walked with God, but it also says that he pleased God. And so there's different things. So when you come to our Bible character that we want to focus our attention on, at least to start with tonight, what stands out? What comes to mind when you think about Caleb? Trust. What else? Determination. Persistence. A helper. How would you like to have Caleb on your side helping you? Amen. Anybody else got a comment on Caleb? His wholeheartedness. All right, let's open our Bibles with Caleb in mind. Let's go to Joshua 14. Joshua chapter number 14. And I believe that God has directed our heart in this light, this Bible character. And well, I love it when God speaks to me in our devotion time. I remember preaching just recently here at the church a series on the importance of church, the importance of church, and we preached, I don't know, a few messages on that, and that was birthed in my heart out of our devotions, reading through Numbers and so forth. And so keep your little pad near and jot down some notes and ask God to speak to you and give you something. Because what God gives you personally will stick with you more than what God will give me to give to you. Amen. That firsthand information. But anyway, chapter 14 of Joshua. And I said number one because Deuteronomy chapter 1 has something to say to us about Caleb. And then we'll go to Numbers. But we just want to labor the point. There's something that's said about Caleb multiple times that is not said about anybody else that I'm aware of in the Scripture. And three of those times, five times this statement is given, three of those times is in this chapter, 14th chapter of the book of Joshua. And we start in verse number 6, dealing with the inheritance of Judah. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of, and I always said it Jephunneh, but I listened to the Bible on, you got access to that with Alexander Scorby. You can, of course, there's others that read it too. And Alexander Scorby, he is, of course, probably the example, and he calls it Jephunneh. It's easy to remember because it's funny. That's the way I remember. But it's going to be hard for me to retrain my mind to say it the way Alexander Scorby says it. In fact, a lot of words I mispronounce in Scripture according to the way he pronounces it. So I just guess at it until now that I've got I can read after him. But he calls it Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. I said it again, didn't I? Jephunneh. We got it. The Kenizzite, and said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, Joshua speaking, me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought him word again as it was in my heart, a key statement. You ought to note that. He didn't just go into Canaan, but Canaan got into him. He brought word as it was in his heart. What is in our heart? What is in your heart? Would be a good question right there. Caleb was what he was because of what was in his heart. Verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren, that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. That's the statement that defines and characterizes the Bible character named Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord his God. Verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever. Because thou, again here now, thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse number 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. What a statement. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain. That's a characterizing statement that we know Caleb by. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, that was giants, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. As the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I still want to say it the other way, but I'm working on it. You pray for me. He said, I want to give him Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he, here it comes the third time in this chapter, that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you will help us, dear Father, to say what needs to be said. Help me to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Help us to see what you want us to see, learn, Lord, what you want us to learn from this outstanding Bible character named Caleb. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts through him, and may we adapt some things into our life, Lord, that we can find in his life. Have your way, Lord, tonight, and we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. One of the things that really stuck out to me about Caleb is that there are not, that I'm aware of at least, that there is not one negative thing said throughout the entire Bible about this Bible character named Caleb. Everything is admirable. Everything can be adaptable. And listen, here's some of the things that what is said most about him is that he wholly followed the Lord, his God. And that is adaptable. That is something that you and I can adapt in our life and adopt into our life and make practical in our life. That wasn't just a spiritual statement that he wholly followed the Lord, but that was a practical statement. That wasn't, amen. And boy, we would probably be a way ahead spiritually, individually, that is, if we would make our spiritual life practical. If we would apply to our practice what the Bible teaches us that we ought to be spiritually. And so there's nothing, I mean, you think about some of the Bible characters that were mentioned even in the service tonight. Some of those have some areas of their life that are recorded in Scripture that would not be good to pattern your life after. I mean, that's just the case. But Caleb, I don't know of anything that is said in the scripture that has a negative idea behind it, a negative slant concerning him. So he is definitely a Bible character. And I want to focus our attention on the statement where it says that he wholly followed the Lord. You don't have to turn there, but I do want to read Deuteronomy chapter number 1. It's got some great truths to be said about Caleb in verse number 36. He's one of the spies that was sent over. Verse 36, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he had trodden upon, and to his children. Well, help us to know right there. I'm getting ahead on making a statement right there, but it's in that verse. Help us to know, we want the Lord to help us, to know that the decisions I make also can have an impact on future generations. He said, not only am I giving this land unto Caleb, but also to his children. And here's why. Because he hath wholly followed the Lord. All right, then Numbers chapter number 14, the same word, the same Hebrew word is used here, but it's translated just a little differently, but it says, it's saying the same thing. In verse number 24 of chapter 14 of Numbers, now, but my servant Caleb, what a statement. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. That word fully there, the same identical Strong's number shows up for the word fully as the word holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. They mean the same. And it said that he hath followed me, God speaking, fully, and him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. So I want to deal with just some basic things that the Lord spoke to my heart about concerning the statement that he has wholly followed the Lord his God. Now, when you think about that, when it says that he followed the Lord, that tells me what he did. And what an outstanding statement that is. But when it says that he wholly followed the Lord his God, that tells me how he did it. Not only what he did, but how he did it. And I just jotted down a few things to share with you, concerning the message tonight. And we're just going to look at that statement, that he wholly followed the Lord. And here's just some about four things that the Lord spoke to my heart about. That is in that statement, that he wholly followed the Lord his God. The first thing that came to mind, or that stuck out to me as I read that and it caught my attention, was that number one, it was chosen. It was chosen. That is, Caleb was a man that wholly followed the Lord his God because he chose that. He chose that. You'll never walk a path that you do not choose, good or bad. And you'll never be the Christian that you could be, should be, ought to be, whatever, unless you choose it. The power of choice is clearly illustrated with Caleb. He chose it. That is, it wasn't automatic. How many times, I don't know how many times that I've said it in this pulpit, that your spiritual life, your spirituality is not automatic. It's not just going to happen. You are not going to be an outstanding Bible character. And by the way, I believe that God means for you and I to be examples, for others to follow, that others can see some things in our life that they should want in their life, just as much as we can pull out Bible characters from the pages of God's Word and follow some things that's said about them. Every one of us here today, Caleb lived in his day. He was what he was in his day. He made a difference in his day. But this is our day. God wants us to be people of character. God wants us today to be people that chooses to follow the Lord. Amen. He was not forced. You don't find that anywhere that he was forced. He was not made, but rather he was willing. And not only was he willing, but he wanted that course. He wanted that in his life, to wholly follow the Lord. Amen? And evidently, he had chosen this early in his life. Now, listen, the first time that his name even appears in the scripture is in, let me find it here, is in Numbers chapter 13. The first time that Caleb's name appears in scripture. And when his name appears, he's being listed as one of the spies. And we all know that Moses picked out 12 spies, or had 12 spies picked out, one out of each tribe. Caleb was of the tribe of Judah. Caleb, that right there in itself has got some preaching material to it, in that, you know what Judah means. Judah means praise. Caleb, I'm getting ahead of myself right here, but Caleb was a part of a tribe. He was a part of a tribe that consisted, now listen to this, there wasn't but one man picked out of the tribe of Judah, one, and Caleb was it. So evidently there was something outstanding about Caleb, that he stood out to where everybody nominated, let's do Caleb. Well, that really carries some weight when you realize that they're, according to the census, and that's why the book of Numbers is called the book of Numbers. You can go to chapter 1 and verse 27 and find out that there were 74,600 men in the tribe of Judah. 74,600, and guess who was picked out of that whole crowd? Amen? 74,000, that's a lot of men. 74,600, that's a lot of men. If it was just 600, that was a lot of men. So there had to be something about him, and no doubt that early in his early life, before he ever shows up on the pages of Scripture, he was already making a choice to wholly follow the Lord his God. He didn't just show up that day and all of a sudden he accidentally got nominated or picked. No, he already had a testimony among the tribe of Judah. He already was outstanding, even though his name was not recorded at that point in the Scripture. And may the Lord help us to realize that we need to be what we need to be, because God may have a day in the future that he means for us to step out on the stage of the public eye and be what God wants us to be. You can't wait till the door opens to be what God wants you to be. You have to be what you're supposed to be, as David was. My goodness, how David prepared himself to be what he ended up being when nobody was looking except possibly his father, as he was on the backside of the desert being faithful at just what daddy wanted him to do. Amen. Young people, could you draw a note right there? That could be preparation of what God wants to do in your life in the future. It's when you're just being faithful to do what daddy wants you to do. Amen. The household chores, and you know, and actually throwing your trash in the trash can instead of just near it. Amen. There's a way to break people from that, but anyway, that's a whole other thing. But but anyway, it's evident that Caleb had this testimony before it was ever even recorded in Scripture, before it was ever even stated in the Scripture. So he chose this to be said about him. A second thing, and we could preach the whole night about that. I mean, we could keep just hammering that and hammering that and hammering that about the choice that you make, the spiritual level that you're on right now, really is the one you've chosen. If I'm on a low spiritual level, it's because I chose that. I chose to allow thoughts in my mind or attitudes in my heart, or I allowed actions in my life, something I allowed that caused a decline of the spiritual level that I was on. And I will stay there until I make a choice to move, you know, get sick of that. And what ought to make you sick of that is when you compare where you are to where you were, and purpose in your heart, I want to go back to where I used to be and then go higher even from there. So first, just simply, that statement that he wholly followed the Lord is God was that he chose that. That's simple, isn't it? But I found out a lot of my spiritual life is attached to simplicity. Just basic stuff. Just basic doing right, basic prayer, basic reading the Bible, just basically, you know, just basics of going to the house of God and, you know, being a part and being involved and just all kinds of things. Number two, quickly, not only do I see that this statement shows me and speaks volumes to my heart that he chose that. And by the way, we know it was God's will for him. I got to say one more thing on that. We know that it was God's will for him and for me and you, if you're saved, to wholly follow the Lord. I mean, who in here would reveal your lack of intelligence by saying that God's will is for me to partially follow the Lord? There's nobody in here believes that. Surely to goodness. We would all agree tonight that it's God's will for us to wholly, completely, fully follow the Lord our God. Amen? That's right. So we know it was God's will, but God didn't choose it. Caleb had to make the choice. Amen. It's God's will that we be a lot closer than we are. But him, it being his will, don't make it happen. What makes it happen is that I choose it. Him, listen, this is good. Him willing it makes it possible. Him willing it says that it's available. But me choosing it is what makes it mine. Amen. May the Lord add that to our hearts. Amen. Number two, quickly, I got to get off that one. The second thing that stuck out to my heart about this just simple but yet defining statement about Caleb, and it is a summary statement. It basically just takes Caleb's whole life and says it, that he wholly followed the Lord his God. Boy, wouldn't that, if you could choose a statement, a sentence that would define you, that you could be remembered after you're long gone off this planet, have you ever thought about what it would be? What would be, how many would like to have this one? Or the one that Enoch had, that he walked with God 300 years. I mean, I know we can't have it 300 years, but I'd still like to, that's how long he lived. That was when he started, he didn't stop till he quit breathing. And he quit breathing when he left this atmosphere, when he left this world. Amen. Somebody said that Russia's got cosmonauts I believe that's right, cosmonauts. And, of course, America's got astronauts, but God's got was-nots. Amen. Enoch was not, for God took him. But anyway, the second thing is, it's conspicuous. That is, it was very visible. It was very noticeable, very obvious. And let me show you some things about that. In chapter 14 of Joshua, verse 9, passage we read, if you look at it, chapter number 9, 14, verse 9, Moses is saying this about Joshua. Moses is saying this. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of... that's verse 8. Verse 9. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land... where, and he's the one talking, and then he ends up that statement and says, thou hast fully... or thou hast... wholly follow the Lord my God. So the first one that says it about him is Moses, who's called the man of God in verse 6 of Joshua 14. So Moses says this about, why? Because it was conspicuous. It was very noticeable. It was very visible. I want to tell you, when you're walking with God, wholly following the Lord your God, it is going to be observed and it's going to be noticed, and some are even going to envy that they would wish they were there. All right? So Moses says it. All right, Deuteronomy 1 and verse 36, I've got these places marked, so I'll just turn back and forth. In chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, verse 36, this is God speaking. Now let's get that. It's something else for Moses, the man of God, to say that about Caleb. But here God himself is saying about Caleb that he wholly hath followed the Lord. Now that's paramount right there. I mean, listen, it's one thing to want your preacher, if we could make the parallel between Moses, the man of God, and a preacher, it'd be one thing to want the preacher to see that. And if I could say it in one sentence, what I'd like to see in every member of this church is that you wholly follow the Lord. Amen. And I believe if you're wholly following the Lord, that it will not be invisible. I don't believe you can, it be a secret. I don't believe it'd be something that's just only in the private time of your life. I believe it will be obvious. And a person wholly following the Lord wants it obvious. Amen. Because wholly following the Lord brings attention to the one you're following. Amen. Anyway, Moses said that about him because no doubt he saw it. God said that about him in Numbers 136 and also Numbers 14 and verse number 24. God is speaking there and says that he hath followed me fully. He hath another spirit in him and he followed me fully, God said. What? Listen, how meaningful is that to you and I that God would say something like that? Do we want to please the Lord? What would be wrong with that being our lifelong aspiration? I just want to please the Lord. Amen? So Moses said it. God said it. But this one caught my attention, and I maybe should have said it first. But in chapter 14 of Joshua, verse number 8, the very first one to say it was Caleb himself. Caleb made the statement, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Listen, if you are wholly following the Lord your God, no doubt God's going to know it. And yes, probably a spiritual leader in your life is probably going to know it. Amen. And that could be pastor or preacher. That could be your parents. Amen. They're going to know whether you're wholly following the Lord. And it could be, and it should be evident, even if we could liken the tribe of Judah to being our church, it ought to stand out even to our tribe, so to speak, that we're wholly following the Lord and have the confidence of the people. But I think it is important that you be able to say that about yourself, not in a boastful way, not in a prideful way, but in a contrasting way. He said, the brethren made the heart of the people melt. And we know from the other scriptures about that, he talked about that they discouraged the brethren. They brought back the negative report that we can't do it, we're not able to do it, the giants are too big and too many, and the cities are too walled up, plumb to heaven, amen. And they thought, we can't do it, we're grasshoppers in their sight. And he said, when they came and made the heart of the people melt, the reason behind, the motive behind Caleb making the statement, but a contrast, a word of contrast. He said, yeah, they had the effect on the people and made their hearts melt. But he said, I want you to know it didn't cause my heart to melt. And here's why. And that is because I wholly follow the Lord. My God. If we don't have any other reason tonight, and I'm getting ahead of myself maybe for next Sunday, but if we don't have any other reason for wholly following the Lord, is because of the prevention that it brings into our heart. What would have caused our heart to melt, what would have caused our heart to be discouraged, has been prevented and stopped by my following the Lord. And I'll leave that there till we come back again. But let me finish this. Conspicuous. He followed the Lord and no doubt had been a part of his life for many, many years, long before he ever come on the pages or his name comes on the pages of Scripture. A third thing, real quickly, well, there's a lot could be said there, but I think you got the point. I want to be a, and you, listen, if you walk with God and you follow the Lord fully, you will be a contrast. Everybody around you, they can be melting. Their hearts can be fainting. They can be just falling all to pieces, you know. But I want to tell you, if you follow God, if you follow the Lord, and that is a personal thing, amen. If you'll notice through the time, that's sticking out to my heart even now, where it said that he wholly followed the Lord. It didn't say we. I just saw that. It said he. Amen. Can I give you something you probably have never heard? Your spirituality is your own responsibility. Amen. If you choose to wholly follow the Lord your God, that's got to be personal because you can't make that choice for somebody else. Amen. I know when children are small and they're coming up early in the years in your home, I know that the majority of their things that they do is the choice of parents. But there comes a day, there comes a time when they start weaning off of that. Not that parents are not important, but it's that they're growing up into adulthood themselves, and their spiritual life is not mama's. Their spiritual life is not daddy's. Their spiritual life is not the preacher. Their spiritual life is their own because they made a trip to an altar. They did business with God. They said yes to the Lord. They made it their purpose in life that I want to wholly follow the Lord. And let me just park right there a second. Amen. Listen, young people, and I know we've got various ages here, but one of the very things that you need to be concerned about, and we've got some here that's got testimonies even on that subject, that when you're considering a mate, when you're considering, I'm talking about the early stages of even being interested in a mate or future, a potential mate, one of the very first questions you ought to ask them, other than being saved, of course, some of them probably recommended if you got a daughter is to ask, the first question is, do you have a job? Because it don't matter if you're saved or not if you don't have a job. Say amen right there. But here's one of the first things, young people, listen to me. This is one of the first things that you ought to consider when you are showing, someone showing interest, you're seeing interest, you're interested in someone. One of the first things that you ought to ask them in a discussion fashion is, what is God's will for your life? What is your purpose? What is in your heart? What is in your heart concerning your future with God? Tell me what your plans are. Tell me what, amen, I can't say it no better than that. Tell me what's in your heart. What have you made commitments about? What have you made vows about concerning your you're serving God, you're walking with God. And if they're out in the la-la land with that, you better just delete the phone number. Just don't even tell them, don't even ask them to pursue. Because if you have a heart for God, you have a desire to be something for the Lord and do something for the Lord, and you are interested in somebody that is at the age where you're interested in them and they're interested in you, and they don't even have a clue, they've not made any commitments to God about their serving God, you better run fast you can run. Amen. That's right. Because how can they help you? How can they help you when you get married? You're a team. How can they help you fulfill God's purpose in your life when they don't even think, they haven't even thought about God's purpose for their life? Amen. Well, I better get off that. I had to insert, it's been a while since I've got a little bit of counsel out to the young people, but it's conspicuous. It's chosen. It was conspicuous. Everybody knew it. Thirdly, oh Lord, listen. Thirdly, the third thing that stuck out to me when I was thinking about the statement in general, that he wholly followed the Lord his God. It was chosen, it was conspicuous, but it was complete. Completely. The word holy, wholly, speaks of complete. You know what that means? You know what that said to me when I was thinking about that, Brother Jeter? It said to me that Caleb knew. Listen, did not Caleb say that about himself? Chapter 14, verse what is it? 8. I wholly followed, but I wholly followed the Lord. You know why I can make that statement? He knew that there within him was no reservations. And I want to tell you, friend, when we look at each other's spiritual life, there maybe has to be a lot of guesswork there and imagine, well, I think they're this or that. But when it comes to you, you know if in your heart you have made complete surrender to the Lord. You know it. You know if there's any areas of your heart and of your life that you've got no trespassing signs up to God's Holy Spirit, stay away from that. Don't ask me to quit that. Don't ask me to stop that. Don't go in that area. Well, I'm reminded of that very man we talked about this morning, Jairus, when he went and got Jesus about his daughter dying. He brings him back to the house. You know what? I believe it's Matthew 9. You know what it was said there? Jesus says to Jairus, give place. You know what that meant? Clear the house. Get everybody out of the house that would be an obstruction to me doing what needs to be done. Amen? And so he had to clear the house out. He cleared the house out of people that were making a noise. Those professional hired mourners. Can you imagine somebody being so low down and sorry that they go to people's houses to act like they're sad about somebody dying? Professionally paid mourners. Ain't that stupid? That's bad right there, I'm telling you. That's about on the bottom of the pay scale barrel right there, friend. Well, I can laugh over that one anyhow. But Caleb knew in his heart that I have totally surrendered to the Lord. He knew that. That's why he himself said he wholly followed the Lord his God. He knew it. Now listen, not only is your spirituality your responsibility, and that is true, but your spirituality will be known to you as to whether it's complete or partial. You'll know it. Amen. And I've made this statement before, Brother Carroll, at preaching here, and I've used it elsewhere, that if we would do what we already know we need to do and deal with what we already know we need to deal with, we would have revival. You know why we don't have revival? Is that we have areas in our life that's got on the door of itself. This area right here is not for Jesus. This area right here is for me. Boy, I want to tell you, last time I checked the record, and right here it is. Last time I checked the record, when Jesus bought me, he bought all of me. And when it says that you're no longer your own, that means none of you is no longer your own. And listen, help me now, as Brother Willis said. If we would apply that right there, that principle right there in our life, I wonder where RBT would be spiritually. I wonder where we would be as an individual, where we'd be as a family, where we'd be as a church. If that right there was, if we started acting like none of me belongs to me. That all of me belongs to God. What would that do for us? I'm telling you. But isn't that scriptural? Am I in left field on that? He's desiring 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to sanctify us, body, soul, and spirit. And that is the total me and the total you. Well, hey man, listen, let me move on. I've been preaching. I can't believe this. My clock stopped or something. Hey man. Felt like I preached an hour, but it's not been that long. But anyway, holy means fully, completely. Amen. Listen to the definition of the word holy. This is Strong's Concordance definition of the word holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. It means to be filled with or full of. Now I'm going to stop right there. Let's apply that. He wholly followed the Lord, his God. He wholly, that is, he was filled with it. Now think about it. If I had a cup up here and it was filled, what would that mean? That there's no room in it for nothing else. So he's filled with and he's full of following the Lord. My goodness, when I saw that definition, I thought, oh, Lord, help us. Right there it is, buddy. We could have help beyond measure if we would apply just that definition and get filled with and full of following the Lord. Amen. To be filled with it and be full of it means that it means something to you and that it's meaningful to you. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Among other things in the scripture, but that's part of the definition. And then it also, listen, the word also in that definition is fulfilled. It is filled with or full of, and then it says fulfilled. When you're fulfilled, what? In fact, this word is in the definition too, satisfied. When you are fulfilled, meaning you are satisfied. Listen, my satisfaction spiritually does not come off of you, nor does your satisfaction come off of me. I'm satisfied when I am wholly following the Lord, when I am full of following the Lord, when I am filled with following the Lord, when I am fulfilled. You follow the Lord like Caleb did, you know what it'll do, Brother Aaron? It'll satisfy you. There won't be any room in there left for nothing else. Amen. All right? Well, we're having a time. Let me give this last one. Not only is this statement telling us that to wholly follow the Lord is a choice, it is conspicuous. It is to be complete. No reservations, nothing missing, no contracts, just total surrender. Number four, this statement, and I'm closing with this. I could probably preach quite some time on this one. And some of you afraid I am. Amen, that's right. But not only those three, but here's the fourth one. And I'm sure there's more. These just stuck out to me. Number four, that statement, he wholly followed the Lord his God, speaks of control. Caleb says, I'm doing the following. He's following the Lord, so that means the Lord's doing the leading. The Lord's doing the directing. Now think about it. If one's doing the leading, one's doing the following, which one of them's in charge? The leader. Amen? And would not we be helped as a church? Would not we be strengthened spiritually if we would just follow. If we'd just follow the Lord. You know what carnality is? Carnality is really just following the world. You're letting the world, you're letting the world be in leadership of your life. And you're following it. Why? That don't make sense to us. Or it shouldn't. Why would I want to follow what I know is going to lead me wrong? Now, Miss Debbie, you wouldn't follow me if you knew ahead of time that I was going to lead you off a cliff somewhere. Because you'd know ahead of time. Well, we already know from how the Bible presents the world. The Bible don't have anything good to say about the world. Its agenda, its goals. I mean, in fact, the Bible says, I believe it's 1 John chapter 4, says the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world. Why would I want to follow and let the world lead me? And that's where popularity comes in. Amen. When you, instead of wanting to be what God wants you to be from one end to the other of your Christian life, but rather you follow the patterns and the fads and fashions of this world. I don't understand that. That don't make a bit of sense to me. And I don't want it to make sense to me because I'm not interested in that. Amen? Why would a Christian want to listen to what the world listens to as far as music is concerned? I don't understand that. That just don't register with me. I can understand a lost person. When I was lost, I could understand that I talked their talk, that I walked their walk, that I did what they did. I went where they went. Their goals were mine, and what they desired was my desires, and what they drank, I drank, and their language, that was my language, you know. But when I got saved, when I got born from above, that all changed. That all changed. I'm not interested in that anymore. I have no desire. I'm telling you, I can give you my key. Go down there right now I've got my truck. Some of you might steal my truck because it's a Ford. But anyway, I mean, I got my key. Go down there, turn the radio on. I don't even have to, listen, I don't listen to that garbage I used to listen to. Amen. Have no diet for that. I have no appetite for that at all. Amen. I don't understand that. But you preach to people about sanctification and separation, about being different from the world. Basically, all we're saying is we're wanting you to wholly follow the Lord. Amen. You can't straddle the fence. You can't live two lives, serve two masters. You just can't. You can't walk with one foot on the broad road and the other foot on the narrow road because they're direct opposites. Anyway, controlled. Caleb was a follower. God was the leader. And that required submission on Caleb's part. That required selflessness on his part. That required him to be humble and realize, listen, that God knows best. And if I follow him, he'll lead. How many of us would say tonight verbally that God would lead me wrong? There's not a person in here, surely to goodness, that would stand up and say, preacher, you know what? Here's why I don't wholly follow the Lord. It's because I just can't trust him in every area of my life. That would be stupid. That'd be absurd, wouldn't it? But that's what a lack of surrender says. That's what actually just partially giving yourself to the Lord is saying. I really can't trust you over here. I really can't trust you in this area. Why can't I trust him in every area? Would you agree with this? And I know this is true because I've met people that said it in my Christian life. There's people that will not run up the white flag of surrender to the Lord because they are afraid of what he might ask them to do. Now, what's behind that? What could possibly be behind that? Lord, I am not giving you the reins of all of my life because I'm fearful of what you would ask me to do. What would he ask me to do? You know why they reject that? Really, the bottom line statement of that is, I don't want to surrender my life because the Lord's going to ask me to do something that's contrary to what I really want to do myself. And the safest place for the will of God in your life is that you would do what God said. I mean, I've been here this month 26 years. I can't imagine being anywhere else. But I'd have never come here had not there been a time in my life that I surrendered to the Lord. Amen. I mean, early on, listen, young people, before I was ever even married, early on, I still remember it to this day. One time in particular that stands out was at Mount Sinai Baptist Church. Brother Rudy Smith is a pastor, Liberty, South Carolina. I know Brother Carol and them at least knows of him, I believe that's right. Mount Sinai, Brother Rudy Smith, preaching. Actually, he's preached here, come to think of it. His wife was the one that was in the wheelchair and so forth. She's in heaven now, but listen. God dealt with me. I mean it, Brother Aaron, it was as clear as a bell. God was speaking to my heart about the mission field. And I made my trip, the old Sinai Baptist Church, it had about a quarter mile aisle. And I remember making a trip down the altar that night. And I got in the altar and I said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'll go. And I meant it. And that was a surrender right there of my whole life, if it included that. If you, when you go to dealing with God about surrender and you have things in your heart that you're hesitant to say, such as, Lord, anywhere, anytime, I'll go. If it's your will and you make it clear to me, I'll go. I'll do it. Brother Jonathan, when I went to the altar that night, I still remember it. And that's long before I was even married. When I went to the altar that night and said, nobody's praying with me, I just got in there myself. And I said, Lord, here I am. If you want me to go to the mission field, show me where. And from that day, when I got out of the altar, God has never dealt with me about going to the mission field. Far as me personally going to the mission field. And that troubled me. I mean, I was tore up about it. That troubled me. And I was praying about it one day, and I said, Lord, why did you deal with me like that? And then I go to the altar and surrender, and you never deal with me again about it. Never put it in my heart, never give no direction in my heart. And you always said to me, Sister June, I wanted to see if you was willing. Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac. I want you to take him. God knew the whole time that it wasn't God's will for Abraham to kill his son. But he didn't want Abraham's Isaac. He didn't want Isaac. He wanted all of Abraham. And when God never intervened. God never intervened until Abraham actually raised the knife. And probably started down with it. Started just, God knew his mind and his thought and heart and knew that he made the engagement to do it. And God stopped him. Whoop, do thy son no harm. And he looked over and there's a ram caught in the thicket. Is there any reservations? Because when you say you wholly follow the Lord, listen, that means God is in control. He's calling the shots. He's doing the leading. You do the following. And he'll never lead you wrong. But here's one, and I'm done with this statement right here. Watch this right here, Brother Ben, if you will follow. I'm going to be the leader. Justice will fall over in there. He's slain in the spirit over here. Amen. He's feeling a witness. I'm used to preaching to that. All right, now watch this. I'm the leader. Brother Ben, you're the follower, okay? I'm not even turning around to see what he's doing, to see what's going on. And I'm not real sure where I'm going with this illustration. My mind got off of justice. And, oh, I do know. I do know now. Here it is. Watch this right here. I'm going to turn and go back the other way, and I want you to watch it, see if you see it. I'm the leader. He's the follower. Look at his footsteps, sis. Look at my footsteps. If I'm leading, whoever's leading has got to walk through there first before those following walks through there. If we follow him, he's the shepherd, he's leading us. Guess what that means? I cannot go where he's not been. He has to go. He's there with me. Listen, everywhere I went, I was involved in his life. He was involved in my life. It makes sense to wholly follow the Lord. And may the Lord help us with that. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ben. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us, Lord, through this classic Bible character named Caleb. Lord, that we could learn some things from him. And Lord, we've seen some other things that we'll bring out at another time, if that would be your will. And we pray, dear Father, that you would speak to all of our hearts tonight, all of us, me included, about this thing of holy, completely, fully, to be filled with it, to be full of it, to be fulfilled by it, to be satisfied with it, to wholly follow you, Lord. And Lord, I want to wholly follow you because I want that said from you to me, about me, because you know, you're not guessing at it, you know. Lord, I want to wholly follow you, but I want it to be obvious to those around me. Lord, I want to wholly follow you. Lord, I want people to as the tribe of Judah had confidence in Caleb, even to the point that they picked him to represent their tribe out of all of those thousands of men. Lord, I pray you'll help each of us to want to have a testimony, a reputation. People have confidence that we are spiritual, that we're saved, that we walk with God, that we're interested in the will of God and the work of God. Lord, help all of our young people to desire to be Christians that are wholly following the Lord. And I pray your will to be done with us as parents and the older folk. Lord, this man Caleb is testifying at 85 years old how he still has got a burning desire in his heart to possess that mountain. And Lord, I ask you now that your will would be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. As she's playing, God spoke to your heart. Feel free to come. Altars are filled with folk doing business with you, with the Lord. Maybe you've done that in the past. Maybe you've surrendered in the past. And maybe it's something that you need to freshen up, something you need to just need to freshen that vow up and that commitment up. And Lord, I still mean it. I meant it then, and I still mean it, Lord. I still mean it. Where he leads, I will follow. Where he leads, I will follow.